I don't know if the whole thing was just a trial balloon floated so that baseball fans could debate whether this new postseason suggestion was a good idea or not.
You thought that maybe it was.
I thought that it was, yeah,
find out, eh?
Baseball wants to know. Do you like this or not? Let's leak it to a reporter so we can gauge reaction from the fans. I think that's some of it. I also think some of it, quite frankly, is that with pitchers and catchers reporting all around baseball this week, baseball desperately needed a distraction from the Houston Astros because that, the stories.
You're not going to get it.
Of course not. I mean, Aaron Boone is on record today about talking about how mad he is still about this. There's a Angels pitcher. I was just reading his comments. He was profane with the Astros about how upset he is about it. So if that was the end game, you're not going to get it. The Astros cheating scandal, sign-stealing scandal, is still the top story in the sport. But I do think that, hey, let's leak something to give baseball fans something else to talk about so it's not just all Astros all the time. One byproduct, though, of this proposed plan, and I'm assuming most people are kind of up on it, they understand how it works, but again, just in case, best record in the league gets first round bye. Two more wild card teams are added. Second best division winner gets to choose which wild card team they want to play. Third best division winner gets to choose which wild card team they want to play. And then the wild card team with the best record gets the last one, and they get home field advantage. It's a best of three series, but all the games are played in one park. You know, the wild card winners, they don't get any home games at all in this, but you get the benefit of a three-game series. One thing that I love that writers have done, Gambo, and I appreciate them doing the heavy lifting so I don't have to, man, they've gone back years, in some cases decades, to find out who would have made it. Who would have made it in this new system? Who would have gotten a playoff berth that didn't? And one team that would have was last year's Arizona Diamondbacks team. They would have gotten into the postseason. 2013 Diamondback team would have gotten into the postseason. In fact, one athletic story went so far as to say, here are the teams that would have benefited the most from this in the last 10 years, who have gotten the most extra playoff appearances. It does bring up a real interesting question about the Diamondbacks and how they've gone about their business the last 10 years or so.
It does. And for me, the thing that I thought about more than anything is, if the rules were in place, would the Diamondbacks not have traded Zach Greinke this year? Would they have not have traded Ian Kennedy in 2013? Now, he wasn't having a good season, but they traded him on July 31st at the deadline. They traded Ian Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
Would they have held on to him in hopes that he'd get it turned around? Would they have held on to Greinke with the hope of making the postseason? How does that sell to your fans? Hey, we're a playoff team right now, but we're going to trade Zach Greinke, our ace pitcher, for four young guys. What? Well, how do you do that? You're a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
You have a chance to win a World Series if you get to the playoffs.
Right.
If you don't get to the playoffs, you have no chance to win a World Series. Only chance you have is to get there. So this, I think, becomes a very difficult thing because the way I look at it is if you go through all those teams, and I just looked at the Diamondbacks for those 2 years, but I guarantee you, well, a lot of those teams that were projected to make the playoffs that didn't, they probably made a trade at the deadline because they were out of it and they weren't going to make it. Because if you go back, if I tell you, if the Diamondbacks are, now last year they had four teams ahead of them when they traded Greinke.
Mm-hmm.
And we said it. It's like, it's not like there's one team ahead of you. There's four.
There's four.
You're not going to, there's four teams.
And it's not like you're guaranteed of anything more than a one-game wild card, right?
Right.
But that changes now. Now it's a three-game series. And granted, you don't get a home game, but at least it's not the randomness of a one game. You know, anything can happen in one playoff game. And even in a three-game playoff series, there's a good dose of randomness in there too. But at least you're getting into a postseason where you've got more than just nine innings to prove whether you belong there or not, right? You've got three games where you've got to win two of them and move on. Gambo, I think you have stumbled onto, and this has been brought up by a couple of baseball people I've read, I think you've stumbled onto what baseball is hoping is the benefit of this new playoff system. Cutting down on tanking. Cutting down on teams going, screw it, we're out of it. We got nothing to play for. We've got no reason to keep this guy on our roster or that guy on our roster. And not that that's what the Diamondbacks were doing, because as we talked about yesterday, and we've said many times, the Diamondbacks bought and sold last year at the deadline. They sold Zach Greinke.
They bought Zach Gallen.
They bought Zach Gallen by trading the number one prospect in your system. Teams that are selling don't do that, but the Diamondbacks were doing both. I suspect that if they implemented this, you would have more teams that would say, hey, we've actually got something legitimate we're fighting for here. Let's fight a little longer. Let's keep going.
And then you
let's
don't
keep
make
our
these,
guys.
Then you don't make these trades.
Yep. Because we want our fan base to be engaged. We want them to believe. We want them to pay attention. We want them to be engaged with what we're doing. Let's keep it up. Let's keep going. Let's keep pushing. More teams, more markets, more fans, more interest.
Trade more change
money.
The trade deadline?
You could push it
could
back
push
a little
it back
bit if
a little
you
bit.
Wanted
I mean,
to. But I think that's
because how's that? What kind of sell is that to a fan base? Because here's the thing with the three-game series, too, okay? You know, if you go down to the last game of the season and you use your ace to make sure you get to the playoffs, he's not pitching in that one-game playoff.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're playing in a three-game series, he's going to get to pitch game three. All you got to do is win one out of the two.
Yes.
So I've got Zach Greinke, and he pitches the last game of the season to get us into the playoffs. One-game playoff, I can't go with him. I got to go with Robbie Ray in a one-game playoff. I can't pitch Zach Greinke. He's not available. But in a three-game playoff, I could have Zach Greinke pitch that third game.
Sure.
And now I just got to win one out of two, and I've got my ace in game three. Mm-hmm. So there's just a lot of strategy involved here, and I just wonder how GMs are going to look at that, and how do you sell that to your fan base? Because it was easy for Mike Hazen. We're not in it. There's four teams ahead of us.
Yeah. There's four teams ahead of us, and we're fighting for one game.
I'm trading the ace pitcher on the staff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trading him.
But when you're fighting for something that's a three-game series and when you're fighting for multiple playoff spots, again, I think that is one of the goals of if they even approve it. I don't know. Here's Mike Hazen on the topic yesterday. He was on the Doug and Wolf show as part of Newsmakers Week. And he was asked about playoff expansion. He goes, look, I don't know about this particular plan, but I do like the idea of evolving and adapting.
I think as an industry, we always have to be on the forefront of evolution. We always have to be on the forefront of what is more exciting to the fans. I mean, we are an entertainment business in a lot of ways. And we love, you know, that's the beauty of professional sports. And how do we marry those two things? I don't think we should ever be resistant to the concept of change. What the specifics of change are, I get it.
Say what you want about the new plan. Say what you want about hating the new plan. I don't think there's any doubt that it involves more fans in more markets being more excited about their team's playoff potential. Say whatever you want about it. It's certainly a flawed proposal. There's no doubt it increases fan interest in markets that previously would have none.
There's no
doubt.
Yeah. There's no question that if you're a team and you've got a chance to go to the playoffs, you're going to push your team to go.
Now, does it go too far? This athletic piece I referenced, it went back and looked over the last 8 years of Major League Baseball. All right, the team with the worst record to make the playoffs in the last 8 years won 79 games.
Right.
79 and 83. Every team that won at least 86 games made it to October. That would be kind of the new cutoff. If you can get to 86, chances are good you're going to go. The Rays, Mariners, Brewers, and Cardinals benefited the most. They would have added three additional playoff appearances over the last 8 years. The next tier of teams, Royals, Indians, Angels, Mets, Nationals, and D-backs, all would have made it twice more. So the Diamondbacks are in that group of teams
that would have made it more than one time.
That would have made it more than one time. That would have truly benefited from multiple extra playoff appearances had this been in place over the last 8 years. They would have gone in 2013. They would have gone last year.
Yeah.
And
now,
I think it would have changed their strategy.
Yeah, there's,
I
yeah,
do.
Yeah.
I do.
I think it has to. It's a hard sell to your team, your fan base, that I'm selling off my guys even though we're a playoff team.
The NHRA Arizona Nationals racing back into the Valley on February 21st through the 23rd at Wild Horse Pass Motorsports Park, giving you the chance to win a four-pack of tickets plus a grand prize winner will get a one-of-a-kind Nitro Burnout Zone experience. So visit the rewards page at ArizonaSports.com for your chance to win. At first glance, the NBA free agent pool this summer doesn't look all that hot, but for the Suns, that pool might be a little bit deeper than you think, and we'll tell you why next on the Burns and Gambo show. On the surface, you look at it, and we talk about the Suns' plan to get better. The trade deadline was a week ago. It came and went. The Suns didn't do anything, and what you had said in the aftermath of the Suns not doing anything at the trade deadline, summer. They're targeting summer.
They are.
Summer. And they're
yep. It's going to be a big summer for the Suns.
It's going to be the summer of Suns.
It will be a big summer.
In terms of how they're going to add to a roster to try to take. They've taken a step this year, obviously. They want to take another step next year. And they're going to have, and on the surface, when you look at their plan this summer, you go, hey, there's only six teams with cap space this summer. There aren't that many teams that have room to add salary the way the Suns do. And that is good news until you realize that just about everybody else is saving their money for the summer of 2021 when it's going to be one of those some of the biggest, best, brightest names in the NBA potentially could be available. I mean, it's got that LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh feel of several years ago, right? It's the good news for the Suns is that there's not much competition. They've got a lot of money. Everybody's saving their money for the next summer. The bad news is on the surface, those superstar free agents, they're all available not this summer but the next summer. So the Suns are going to have to take a look at the list, whether it's via trade or via free agency, how are they going to get where they want to go this summer? What are the names they would consider, either in free agency or otherwise?
Well, I think it's going to be trade. I'm going to continue to say that expect the Suns to be active on the trade front in the offseason and to use their cap space to acquire players, you know, that have a year left on their contract, 2 years left on their contract. I'm not expecting that the Suns are going to be, you know, players in 2021 for free agency. I'm not, you know, that is not the strategy that is the right strategy for the Phoenix Suns to go save up all your cap space and then chase the stars with everybody else. That's not how, you know, they're going to win. They're going to add players. Look, I'm expecting that they're going to get a power forward next year, and I'm expecting that they'll get themselves up, you know, a better backup point guard, maybe a shooting guard, and they're going to do this via the trade route. I don't see the Suns being very active. Even when you look at the free agents this year and you go through the list, David Bertrand, Jordan Clarkson, Montrezl Harrell, Marcus Morris, Hassan Whiteside, Millsap, Gasol, Ibaka, Joe Harris. Joe Harris, maybe. But there's a lot of these guys, I just don't see the Suns being active for these type of players. So I do think the Suns are going to do this through trade because you're looking at that 2020 free agent list. And forget 2021 because, again, I don't think they're chasing 2021. I don't know that the 2020 NBA free agent class is anything that excites anybody.
Yeah, there was a story on The Athletic that the A-list names, Fred VanVleet, Danilo Gallinari, I could see them being interested in Gallinari, given that he's one of the few guys out there. I mean, a true stretch four who can shoot. And they need a shooter. His is the one name I'm really curious about.
Is Gallinari.
I'm really curious about him just because from a positional standpoint, he fills a need. From a need standpoint, he fills a need. He can shoot the basketball, and the Suns don't have enough guys who can shoot the basketball.
Maybe. I would tend to think no, but maybe. I mean, maybe it's a good name. We've talked about that name before. You didn't want to give up anything to get him. We've talked about Lauri Markkanen. We've talked about Aaron Gordon. You know, if you said to me, do I think they'll end up with one of those three guys, Gallinari, Gordon, or Markkanen? Yeah, I think they'll end up with one of those three guys.
Yeah, Evan Fournier, according to this report I'm looking at, seems likely to opt out of his deal, and they would rank him third on the list behind VanVleet and Gallinari. Gordon Hayward, DeMar DeRozan could join the party by opting out of the final seasons of their deal, but The Athletic believes that the opt-in appears to be the better strategy. Tim Hardaway Jr. is another opt-out wild card, depending on what decision he makes. And then you get down to kind of that next level of guys. And you started talking about Montrezl Harrell, Marcus Morris, Hassan Whiteside, Paul Millsap. I know we had Kevin Pelton on the show earlier last week. He mentioned Millsap as a possible guy they would look at. Those guys would be guys you could get at that next level down, not as expensive, you know, not somebody you're going to pay a lot of money for. The problem with the trade market is, and we talked about this last week, is that once Tyler Johnson's contract comes off the books, you don't have that much to trade.
You don't
have a lot of real obvious candidates to be able to trade to acquire that kind
of
salary.
You've got your pick. You got your pick. My gut feeling is that the Suns are not going to keep this pick. My gut feeling is that the Suns are going to trade this pick. So, and they'll trade that pick for a player. But that's what you have. You have the pick to trade. Player-wise, I mean, look, if you're under the cap, right, this is, you know, if you're under the cap, if they renounced everybody's rights and they were under the cap, well, then they can take a player on into their cap without having to give back equal salary, right? I think you got to come within like 80 or 85% of the salary if you guys are both on, if both teams are at the cap or above the cap. But if you're not at the cap, if you're announced you're right, you could just take a guy into cap space. Okay, well, I'll give you a first round pick and you give me this player making $12 million a year. Deal. Okay. You can make that work because you're under the cap. So I think that's probably the likely scenario. But you're right. Player-wise, you know, could you trade future picks? I mean, you don't want, you probably don't want to get into the point where you trade all of these future first round picks.
No.
But I think that they will very likely look to trade this year's first round pick to address, you know, a big need of theirs.
I think too there will be some fans who would say, some Suns fans who would say, well, just wait for the summer of 2021 when all these big names are available. Okay, two thoughts with that. Number one, I don't think the big names are going to come to Phoenix, so I wouldn't go saving my money for Giannis Antetokounmpo thinking right. You're going to get Giannis to come to Phoenix. That's not going to happen. Number one, and number two, you can't afford to waste another year of Devin Booker on the promise
exactly
of next
right.
year.
You're exactly
you
right.
You can't.
And, got to do
so,
it now.
And so even though this class might be mediocre compared to the 2021 class, and even though it might not have the stars that the 2021 class has, it doesn't matter. Tick-tock on Devin Booker, and you have to show him a commitment. I would hope that maybe they don't go long-term with some of these investments so they can give themselves the flexibility to spend on better players later on down the road. But for now, this summer, they've got to add more talent to this roster. And even if that means sitting out of the great summer of 2021 of free agency, you have to get better now.
Here's what you have also in the summer of 2021. You got Kelly Oubre coming off the books.
That's true.
So you do have Kelly Oubre coming off the books. So if you had a really good player in 2021, so I want to come play in Phoenix. Well, you've got a big contract coming off the books.
Yes, you do.
I mean, Oubre's what, $15 million that year?
Yes, he is.
$15 million bucks. So now if you've got to get another five, you could make it work. Like if you've got to get to $20, $25 million in salary for a player in 2021, you could get there because now you wouldn't have Oubre, but you could get there using, you know, with Oubre coming off the books. In the meantime, I think they're very active in this 20. And I said this at the trade deadline. Their whole plan is the summer. I'm expecting that they'll add three or four pieces to this roster. I don't think Baines will come back, and I don't think Saric will come back, and I think they'll try to upgrade the bench, and I think they'll try to do a lot of work. But I'm expecting the majority of that work to come via trade. Maybe one free agent, but I think the most of it's going to come via the trade.
Just as he was on the verge of returning, Darcy Kemper re-injured himself, and now with their playoff hopes in jeopardy. Can the Coyotes overcome? We're going to talk with our guy Shane Doan, the captain of the Coyotes, next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Doan scores on the rebound!
Shane Doan.
Shane Doan got a piece of it. I think this goal is going to go to the captain.
Captain Coyote.
Shane Doan sends a one-hopper on net. He scores! The captain.
The Coyotes' all-time career points leader joins Burns and Gambo.
Now. Shot by Shane Doan. He scores!
All right, not exactly now.
Not now?
Soon. We hope.
They got job last night, by the way.
But not now.
They got job. They had that game won in overtime. They got a goal taken away from them on an interference penalty. They called Stepan in the crease, bumping into Campbell, the goalie. Close call. I don't know. I didn't think it was interference, so I'm going to say they got job. That play happens all the time in the National Hockey League, all of the time. Toronto gets the – and that point is huge. Because that point right now, that point is the difference between being in the playoffs and out of the playoffs. If they would have got that point, they're a playoff team. Without that point, they're not a playoff team. So a chance to get 2 points turned into 1 point because they end up losing that game in overtime. And
Aren't they in now? Yeah, they're in now.
They are in.
Yes. Okay. At least the screenshot I took of the standings this morning they were in, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll look right now to be sure, but I think the 1 point they got from last night was enough to get them in.
Might be right. I'm going to look too because these points are just so precious right now. They're just so important. because you're in as a wild card, because the top three teams, Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary, are your top three teams. And Calgary, Vegas, and Arizona, they're all tied with 64 points in the Pacific.
Yeah, ESPN's, I went to their wild card standings.
And they've got them in?
And the Vegas Golden Knights are the first wild card with 64 points. The Coyotes are the second wild card with 64 points. And while we were going over the standings, we were stalling just long enough to get our guy Shane Doan on the phone, who joins us right now here on the Burns and Gambo show. What's going on, Doaner?
Not much. You wouldn't believe where I'm standing. I'm standing at the base, the Air Force base in Colorado. It's really an amazing sight. The NHL outdoor game is about to start, are getting everything ready. It goes on this weekend, and I'm just trying to follow around and make sure I do my job.
Are you in Colorado Springs there at the Air Force Academy? Okay, so and they're going to an outdoor game this weekend there in the NHL? That's the plan?
Yes, it is. I'm actually standing on the field right now out there of Air Force, which is pretty cool.
Send me a photo.
I will.
Snap a photo and text it to me.
I will send you guys one.
All right. I don't know. Did you see the game last night in Toronto?
Yes, I did.
I mean, I don't want to be a homer here. I don't know how that's interference on Stepan. You'll know better than I do. I've seen that play 1,000 times in the National Hockey League where that happens. I didn't think it was goaltender interference. I thought Campbell was coming out to maybe cut down the angle a little bit. And so it was like mutual interference where they both kind of – but I didn't think he was in the blue. I thought he was outside. I think they got jobbed out of a point.
Well, I understand that, but I think Steph's foot's definitely in the blue. And I mean, as much as it's one of those things that the refs get a second chance to look at it, and when they get a second chance to look at it, they felt that it was interference. And in overtime, it's a mandatory thing. It's not like anyone calls down. It's in the last minute of every game, and in overtime, it does that every single time.
Here's what I love about Shane Doan. When he disagrees with you, he's so damn polite about it, isn't he? He's just so, Gambo, yeah, I understand.
But isn't it
that
referee discretion?
Nice.
I mean, isn't it the ref's discretion?
Yeah. Well, not to a certain degree. They get to look at it again on video, and when they looked at it again on video, they thought that it was a goaltender interference. I mean, you understand when they see it live, one thing, and then you see it a second time, then it had to be decisive, and they were very decisive, I guess, with their decision and thinking that it was.
So the Coyotes right now are in this fight, this game-by-game, point-by-point fight to extract every single point they can out of what's left on their schedule. Does the iffiness of Darcy Kuemper and his availability the rest of the season, or whether it's a week or two, does that make it really, really hard to judge whether this team can get in, or is it cut and dry in your opinion? If he's not available, they won't get in.
Well, I think they have the capability. I'm a pretty big Ranta fan. I'm a huge Ranta fan, and I think Hill has shown that he's more than capable. He's more than capable. He's probably the best goalie outside of the NHL right now, and so you're very fortunate that the Coyotes have some serious depth, and that's a compliment to John and to the management that they have some depth at such a key position. That all being said, Kuemper was the best goalie in the league, and if you could have him back, it drastically improves their chances, I think. But Rantz is more than capable of doing that, and he's done it in the past.
I'm going to disagree with you now.
Are you going to be as polite about it as he was when he disagreed with you?
No, I
didn't think so.
You're not getting anywhere with Rant as your goaltender. He's not that good. He never has been that good.
Oh, my goodness.
Backup with the Rangers.
Two years ago in the playoffs, he was the best goalie for the last 35 games of the year, and you need him to do it again, and he's capable of doing it.
Yeah.
And,
no Kuemper, no playoffs. You hear me, Doaner? No Kuemper. No playoffs.
Well, it's so hard. I mean, this started before Kemp, though. I mean, it's been hard, the stretch that they've been in, where when you become the hunted, it's a total different mindset, and it's hard to sometimes get to there if you haven't been there. And I think that that's a little bit of it, but they're finding their way. I like their game. It's been a lot better in the last few games. The game in Boston wasn't bad. The game in Montreal showed huge character. That was awesome to watch that game and see them come back like that. And that's a testament to the players. And I think they're starting to figure it out.
Shane Doan, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo show, live from Colorado Springs, Colorado. Who's playing this weekend in this outdoor game? I wasn't even aware there was one this weekend.
The Avs are playing the Kings, so it's the Avalanche's home game, and the Kings are coming in, and it's going to be exciting. It's going to be a spectacular event. They did it in Annapolis 3 years ago, and it was amazing, and this one's going to be just as good.
Marcel Dion's not walking through that door for the Kings. Rogi Vachon is not walking through that door for the Kings.
No. I don't think either of those guys are.
Luke Robitaille is not walking through the door.
Is this a competition to see how many LA Kings players you can name?
Butch Goring is not walking through that door.
Hey, you know what? I'll chime in. Wayne Gretzky's not walking through that door. See, I can play this game, too. I can play this game, too.
All right. How concerned are you? And I always look at this just because, you know, I'm nitpicking here. They played more games than anybody else in the West. There are teams that have four games in hand on them. Nashville's got four games in hand.
Yeah.
Minnesota's got three. Edmonton's got three. Vancouver and Calgary have two. I mean, I worry about that, Doner.
Oh, yeah, I agree. There's no doubt that the situation isn't exactly there's a little bit of a false sense of security right now, but at the same time, you have to win your games in hand. I mean, games in hand don't mean anything. The real dangerous part is of some of those games, which is good and bad, they play against each other. So someone's going to get points, and that's where you start to run into trouble. Colorado or Winnipeg's going to end up playing Minnesota, and so somebody's going to get points in that game, and you hope that they kind of saw them all off and they split them up and they don't, you know, nobody goes on a run, but that's going to make it difficult.
All right, Doner, we'll be keeping an eye on this game this weekend. You make sure that all the I's are dotted and all the T's are crossed and whatever it is you're there to do, you make sure you get it done, my friend.
We will do.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. See you guys.
Shane Doan joining us, Coulter Automotive Group Sportsline, for his weekly visit with us, the captain of the Coyotes, in his official capacity with the NHL there in Colorado Springs, getting ready for one of those outdoor games. Those are always.
Oh yeah, they're great.
Those are always a lot of fun. Yeah. Those are fun to watch. It's fun to see.
I don't know if we'll ever get one here.
I know they talked about it.
Could they pull it off?
1 year they talked. I just don't know how you could. Join Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and his wife Brenda. The Celebrity Game Night is coming up Saturday, February 22nd. Now this year's event is going to honor D-backs World Series hero Luis Gonzalez. Tickets are on sale now. All proceeds benefit Treasure House. Visit the rewards page at arizonasports.com right now for more information and your chance to win a pair of tickets. One player is suing the Houston Astros over their pitch-stealing scandal. Does he have a case? That's where things get kind of interesting. And we'll tell you why next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Well, I'll say this right now. If the strategy of leaking that potential playoff change in Major League Baseball was designed to get people talking about the Houston Astros, it ain't working. It ain't working, my friends.
It's not.
Let's see. Headline, ESPN.com. Aaron Boone, Yankees trying to move on, but still, quote, mad and frustrated, close quote, at Astros 2017.
That's a weird thing.
Cheating.
Beltran played for the Yankees for a few years.
He did.
Did he not bring that to New York?
Headline from HardballTalk.com. Rob Manfred must answer for his mishandling of the sign-stealing scandal. Headline ESPN.com. And this one we're going to talk about for a few minutes. Astros owner Jim Crane to talk strategy with the team amid the scandal. He's expected to meet with the full Astros roster today to discuss their strategy on what they're going to publicly say about the sign-stealing scandal and the fact that they're getting ripped by everybody for not being more contrite about it, for not being more apologetic about it, for not admitting that they have done something very wrong when Major League Baseball has found that they have in fact done something wrong. And so now there's a powwow going on with Jim Crane, and the Astros. So, hey, this is what we're going to say. This is our message. This is how it's going to sound. We need to attack this appropriately. And in the midst of it all, Gambo, is this crazy lawsuit from Mike Bolsinger. He's filed a lawsuit against the Houston Astros. It was filed in California State Court. He's a 32-year-old right-hander. He's never pitched for the Houston Astros. He hasn't even played for a major league club in the last 2 years. He's been in Japan. But because his last Major League Baseball appearance came in a Blue Jays uniform, and it was against the Astros, and it was in 2017, and it was the very same game in which the trash can banging scheme reached its apparent zenith, its peak. Bolsinger was dumped by the Blue Jays the day after the Astros lit him up. And now he's saying, you cost me money. You cost me a career. You're cheating. Took money out of my pocket. He's suing him for what, $31 million? $32 million?
Yeah.
And he's going to give the money to charity.
He's going to give all the money to charity. Okay. Okay.
If he wins, he's going to give the money to charity. His lawyer, Ben Micella, said, here's why he did it.
Mike wants to have his cases adjudicated in front of a jury. That's secret arbitration, and the underlying conduct is intentional fraud, and intentional fraud shouldn't be heard in secretive arbitration. You know, right here in California, arbitration clauses have been significantly under attack as being unconstitutional, and, you know, we intend to bring this to see the daylight. This is not something that's going to be covered under the rug.
Okay, so if I'm the he would be the prosecutor, right? Is he the prosecutor or the defense?
Well, it depends. What's
He's suing.
He's the prosecutor. He's okay.
So if I'm the defense there, I'm going to sit there and I'm going to say, okay, Mr. Bolsinger, can you please explain to me how you gave up six runs in four innings against the Atlanta Braves on May 15th? How about when you gave up 4 runs in 5 innings against Baltimore on May 20th? Is there any explanation for why you gave up 3 runs in 3 2/3 innings against Detroit on July 15th? I mean, just any explanation as to why you gave up 3 runs in 5 innings against the Cincinnati Reds on May 31st or 2 runs in 4 innings against Texas on May 26th? You see, Mr. Bolsinger, you suck as a pitcher. It wasn't just the Astros. I mean, everybody scored runs off of you.
Your Honor, I object. Is there a question in our future?
Yes, Mike Bolsinger, you pitched in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 games that year. You know how many times you gave up 0 runs? Once. The other 10 times you gave up runs. So can you please explain to me why it was just the Astros? I mean, why not just sue everybody? Why not sue the Tigers and the Red Sox? Why not sue the Yankees? Why not just sue every team that you pitched against that scored runs against you?
Yeah.
I mean, can you please explain that to me?
I don't think Robert Shapiro or Johnny Cochran have to worry about anything with your lawyerly skills over there.
Are you kidding me?
Well, first of all, you were.
I just got them to admit the code red right there.
I could file an objection for grandstanding. You were leading the witness. There was no question in there.
I'm asking him to explain I'm asking him to explain why he gave up 4 runs in 5 innings.
Okay.
You know, against this team.
Well, just leave it at that. But you.
Why did you give up 5 runs in 4 2/3 against Atlanta?
Is you suck a question?
See, that's the point. That's the point. That's the part you need to work on. I'm pretty sure you suck is gonna get overturned in a court of law. Have you not watched enough lawyerly movies?
Do you know, Mr. Bolsinger, going into that game against the Astros, your ERA was 5.49. Going into that game, it was 5.49. Do you have any explanation?
There you go.
You couldn't get anybody out?
You got to give me a question. There you go. You got to ask a question
as to why, and then he'll give me an answer, and I'll say, no, basically, you suck. That's why your ERA was 5.5.
Your Honor, you
suck.
Your Honor.
I object.
You can object all you want. Here's the reality. You suck as a pitcher. Can't get anybody out. Go pitch in Japan or wherever else.
It is silly. It is silliness. And of course, it's not going to happen. But it just goes to show how many. I mean, you think about it. And I'm not saying Bolsinger has a case. He obviously doesn't. But how many people should be and are infuriated by this? I was reading our friend Pedro Gomez with ESPN. I favorited a couple of tweets from him today because I believe ESPN, since he's locally based, ESPN has dispatched him to cover the Oakland A's. The Oakland A's are a big team to cover this spring training.
Mike Fiers.
Because of Mike Fiers.
Mike Fiers.
Right?
Yep.
And as Pedro tweeted out this morning, he tweeted out a picture of Fiers warming up. He was not available during the pre-pitchers and catchers workout availability this morning. Fiers wasn't in the clubhouse. Pedro was there to talk to him. He did talk to Bob Melvin. A's manager Bob Melvin praised Mike Fiers because he said it took somebody from the Astros clubhouse to push Major League Baseball to seriously investigate the sign stealing. Melvin said the A's had registered complaints before. So if other teams are complaining, if organizations are complaining and nothing's getting done about it,
None of this would have happened if Mike Fiers doesn't leak it all to the Athletic and doesn't put his name on it.
The Major League Baseball failed Mike Fiers because if they had
no question about it.
If there were complaints, why did they not do a thorough investigation and find out that they were banging on garbage cans to give signals?
Zero debate. If baseball was aware, if this was a well-known dirty little secret in the game for the last 2 years, shame on Rob Manfred for not doing something about this sooner. Shame on Rob Manfred for not taking this more seriously.
Baseball's got a history of covering this stuff
shame
up,
shame on Major League Baseball for, we'll just, you know. Nothing was going to happen until Mike Fiers ratted those guys out. Nothing. Now, we can talk about whether he should have done it when he was on the team. We can talk about whether he should have done it when he was in Houston and how, you know, whether it was a cowardly act to wait until you weren't there anymore before you did it. But the fact is, we're not talking about any of this unless he does what he did. None of it.
Mr. Bolsinger, in 2016 for the Dodgers, you had an ERA of 6.83. You gave up 3 runs in 4 innings against the Diamondbacks on June 13th. Why did you have an ERA of 6.83 when you didn't even face the Astros that year? I rest my case. The defense rests.
Trevor Bauer, the most vocal opponent to the new playoff proposal for Major League Baseball.
I could have been a lawyer.
On an online. Easy there, big fella.
Hey, easy. You ever see My Cousin Vinny?
Yeah.
You ever see My Cousin Vinny?
Okay.
Did or did you not go to college? I think you would have had to go to law school as
now
well.
Sarah's the lawyer.
I think that's overrated. It's just a lot of big words that people don't use. I would use normal words that people would relate to.
Do you understand that you can't practice law until you've passed the bar? It's not like they just
did My Cousin Vinny pass the bar?
Yes, he was a lawyer. Yes.
Gotta get that JD.
I could pass any bar on the street, and they said, did you pass your bar? I said, yeah, I passed the bar.
I passed it.
Gamble passes by all bars.
Oh, Shaughnessy's.
I walked by Marley's Sports Grill on my way here, and then I did a hard left, and I went and walked right by the Hard Rock Cafe.
Exactly.
Yeah, I passed the bar.
So let me tell you why this guy shouldn't get any money. He stinks.
You would have been a terrible lawyer.
I don't know. That technicality was actually pretty lawyerly.
It really was. I did pass the bar. Yeah, you would have been.
I think I would have been good.
I would have never hired you for anything.
I wouldn't use all the big words that nobody knows. These lawyers use words nobody understands. I would use words that people understand.
If
I didn't understand, I'd be like, do you know what I'm saying?
Hey, man,
the people's court.
Whatever you got to tell yourself to sleep well at night, man, you just keep saying it. You just keep telling yourself that. You would have been a terrible lawyer.
You're totally wrong.
Phoenix Suns need the All-Star break in the worst possible way. They're looking at tonight as a way to get some good momentum going into that break. Can they get it? We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo Show.